J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Let's go back to a night in Philadelphia in 1971. I've never heard this from you, and some strange things happened in the booth that night.
Sure, I was portrayed as a national drunk on air. Well, yeah. I've been all
As I heard it, you got loaded and threw up on Frank Gifford.
No.
That's the way I heard it.
I threw up on Don Meredith.
Or on Don Meredith, right.
I would never throw up on Frank. No matter what my physical health, there's no way I'd impair the magnificence of those good looks and sartorial resplendence.
Splendor, right.
Come on, that's a joke. I was sick as a dog. I've suffered all my life almost from vertigo or labyrinthitis from time to time. I have a cold now. My ears are stuffed, loss of balance, sometimes thickness of speech. And that was the coldest night I've ever experienced in my life. I ran the track at Franklin Field to try to get warm that night with John Carlos, one of the two Black Power salute athletes, to try to get warm. I interviewed Ron Johnson before the game. Big Ron, number 30, then a great star with the Giants, though they were upset by a puerile Eagles team that night. And I really, really got hit by the bug. And it hit me, I think, as I recollect it, midway in the second quarter. I knew what the consequences would be. I fell into a taxi, take me to New York, got home to Emmy. My wife was terrified. About 3 in the morning, had calls from Klosterman, who was then at Baltimore before he joined UNLA with the Rams, Al Davis from Oakland, all my friends. But I was just sick as a dog, and I have no apologies to make for that.
What is the taxi cab fare from Philadelphia to New York?
As far as I'm concerned, it's $92. That's what the man asked me for, and that's what he got.
I gave him, right? Let me stop for these announcements. We'll continue with Howard Cosell after these messages.
You're so talented.
Now, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu.
Friday, February 11th, 2022. 272 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. Hi, kids. It's JC. You're at jconline.com. It is our big Super Bowl show today. I thought that maybe we would do Super Bowl and Valentine's Day at the same time because Valentine's Day is on Monday, and I think a lot of people are probably going to end up celebrating at some point over the weekend. You know, you got all night tonight, you got all day Saturday, you got most of the day on the Super Bowl pregame show started, I think, Wednesday. I think it's been running since Wednesday morning. So, the weekend is salvageable, let's put it that way, before you actually have to sit down at 5:30 and actually watch the game and the national anthem and all the final half hour of the pregame stuff gets sort of interesting. But we will not have the opportunity to combine both celebrations today because it's going to be all football. This is going to be great, too, because a lot of people who will not be able to hear the podcast here on Friday will be able to enjoy this thing really all weekend. This show has legs today, folks. Legs today. And it's amazing to think that before we get to Super Bowl 56, you go all the way back to Super Bowl I, which, by the way, wasn't even called the Super Bowl back then. There were two separate leagues at the time, the NFL, represented by the Packers, and the AFL, the American Football League, represented by the Chiefs. The leagues had agreed to merge in 1966, but until 1970, they kept separate schedules and only met in the championship game. Like I said, it wasn't even called the Super Bowl after kicking around names like the Big One and the Pro Bowl. Officials decided to call it the AFL-NFL World Championship Game. It was the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, Lamar Hunt, that came up with the name Super Bowl after seeing his kids play with a Super Ball. Even though that name picked up steam with fans and the media, NFL Commissioner Pete Rozelle didn't like it. So the championship wasn't even a first. the championship game wasn't even officially referred to as the Super Bowl until the third one in 1969. And look where it is taking us today. And they're always looking for ways to improve the game. George Carlin had some ideas of his own.
Football, I have a good idea for football. I think all 45 players should be allowed to play at the same time. Just let them get in there. What's this stuff standing around watching the game? Put on a helmet, get in there, and hurt someone. You know what I mean? Here's another thing. In football, I would leave the injured on the field. Yes. Yes.
And even though John Madden has grabbed his turducken and has moved on to the great beyond, we have Frank Caliendo.
I did a sketch on the NFL on Fox this year, which was about Kurt and Brenda Warner. You know, I wasn't doing it to be mean. I just do it. This is just this. You know, here's a guy that doesn't do it to be mean. He just does it to make money. But we did Jim Rome.
Yes. And it was, it's just amazing. You're dead on with him,
it's
too.
Incredible. What a ridiculous idea. Doing a Jim Rome impression. Jeez. Supposed to be interviewing Kurt Warner. He wasn't there. Brenda Warner was. Phenomenal. Now I'm going to pause for no reason. And I'm back. Great pause. We have a call from George in D.C. Wait a second. He's in Crawford. George in Crawford. Go ahead. Yeah, Jim. Thanks for the van. We have found the weapons of mass destruction, but they're all invisible. Great call. Whack him.
Here's a guy who knows how to keep on talking.
I can't believe he didn't even do his Chris Rock impression. I was waiting for that the entire time. Listen, we don't always have time for Chris Rock. We try to, but
just say the end.
He doesn't want to say the end. He wants to keep on going. Why is he doing this? He hasn't even done Adam Sandler yet. I would like to say something for you.
He starts to zig, and just when you think he's going to zag, whoa! He zigs again. Yeah, what he does is he goes off on a tangent. You know what a tangent is?
Yeah, I love tangerines. They're my favorite fruits. What do you think, Bill? I love melons. I love squeezing them.
I do. Well, this has been weird. I can't even keep up here, you know?
Wow. We're all up. We're all... Wait, by the way, I'm fine now with gay marriages. As long as it's a gay man marrying a gay woman. Okay, woman married again.
Here's a guy still trying to do bits, and they're trying to go to break. What is going on here?
And since the big game is not on Fox this year, you're safe from Terry Bradshaw and his singing.
1976, Terry Bradshaw put out an album called I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry.
Lonesome I Could Cry.
Can you give me a couple of bars of the big hit?
Sure.
The last word in lonesome is me.
The last word in lonesome is me. The last word in lonesome is me. My heart is as lonely as a heart can be lonely. The last word in lonesome is me. Woo! Woo! Woo!
Who yelled encore? Don't do that.
Don't yell you didn't encore. Think I'd do that, did you?
Actually, I didn't. No warm up or anything. I hate to say it, but it was actually pretty good. All right. Well, it was really the mid-1970s when the NFL kicked it into high gear. Football was football, and it had its following and everything. But CBS especially said, nah, we want to jack this thing up. And that meant the first really, really big pregame show, the NFL Today.
Particularly during the 1970s, you guys were the only show in town. The NFL Today. You guys were superstars. And for a lot of people, they would probably recall you having really set the precedent, having invented the beast, so to speak, in terms of the NFL pregame show. Yourself, Jimmy the Greek, Irv Cross, Phyllis George. I guess I wouldn't be going out on a limb here to say that that was probably the greatest days of your career. True?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because we were in on the beginning of something, and it was, like you said, the only game in town. So it was such a high-profile show. Which I came to realize probably in the middle of it, you know, in the middle of 70. I didn't realize it at first. I just thought it was just another show on television and sports fans would be interested.
Really? So it took you that long before you realized that people were walking around
you know, it's like 11:25 and people would start getting the jitters if they weren't back from the supermarket.
Exactly.
The wife sent them out to get a quart of milk and a dozen eggs. It's 11:25. I'm going to miss that. Dun, 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 bum. With your names being thrust onto the screen and that theme music.
Yeah, those were great days for a pregame show. Now, everybody in the world has got a pregame show. So it's, you know, I watch all the shows, especially as we get closer to the playoffs. And there's so much more competition out there now, and they run them an hour. I can't imagine how sometimes, you know, like week four in the NFL season, how they get an hour out of a pregame show, because most of the time the fan today, he wants the ball in the air. He's looking for action, and there's so much of it up there. Times have changed. I mean, the clicker is prevalent now. In those days, remote control was not even as prevalent as it is today. So therefore, they'd turn it in, and they'd leave it there, you know.
And you also became the target of criticism because some sports fans were saying, well, this isn't about football. This is about entertainment. And, of course, anybody who knows anything about what you do for a living knows that that's exactly what the National Football League wanted. It's exactly what the network wanted. They said, we got to open this up to more people. And so what if it's a little show business? So what?
Yeah, JC, the game of football at the professional level is one of the strongest, I would say, entertainment vehicles in this society. Now, certainly movies would be ahead of it. But I got to tell you something. It would be right up there in hot pursuit. When you think of the masses that enjoy professional football, look forward to the games on Sunday, and then Monday Night Football became such a happening, too. So you're exactly right. And the networks realized that, you know, and that's why we had Phyllis George there. That's why we had Jimmy the Greek there. We had things that were away from simply the X's and O's and the cornerbacks covering the wide receivers and that. And it was exciting. It was fun to be part of. You know, there's no question.
Did Jimmy the Greek get a rotten deal?
Yeah, I think so, JC. He got a rotten deal from the standpoint that I don't think he thought he was being racist when he issued those comments. It was certainly an area where Jimmy did not belong intellectually.
If they take over coaching like everybody wants them to, there's not going to be anything left for the white people. I mean, all the players are black. I mean, the only thing that the whites control is the coaching jobs. The only thing left for the whites is a couple coaching jobs.
Yeah, maybe we need to get more black coaches, don't you?
Well, it's all right with me.
Okay, well,
I'm sure that they'll take over that pretty soon, too.
I mean, some very intelligent men have discussed that. Books have been written about it, things of that particular nature. But I think what should be pointed out is that he had burned so many bridges previously with our management that there was not that safety net to catch the Greek when he fell from the high wire. If a broadcaster who'd never had any difficulty with management stumbled into that particular venue, and I think for sure they would have saved the Greek. But in this instance, they just moved away and, you know, let him crash and burn, which was too bad. It was a bad time. And Greek never really recovered. You know, for some reason, he never was able after that to get over the bitterness or reestablish a foothold.
But first, ladies and gentlemen, the top 10 really bad football euphemisms for sex. Are you ready? Top 10 really bad football euphemisms for sex. Number 10, charging the hole. Number 9, splitting the uprights. Number 8, taking it deep. Number 7, getting deep penetration. Number 6, firing one into the tight end. Number 5, moving the chains. Number 4, going for 2. Number 3, punching it in. Number 2, being inside the red zone. And the top really bad football euphemism for sex, coming from behind.
What about those guys that always pull that military patent crap? Today, men, we are going to war. Yeah, war, except the fact that we get to take showers after we play about 2 hours and go home and have drinks with our friends. Other than that, it's war. I mean, of course, the fact that none of us are going to get killed today unless we get shot outside the stadium by some berserk fan. But it's war in another kind of way, in a kind of way where we would like war to be, but it really isn't. Other than that, it's war.
The great comedian Dom Irrera right there. Oh, yeah, going back to that first Super Bowl, you know, we talked about the fact that they didn't really seem to understand what they had. The game actually aired on two networks. Since NBC had the rights to the AFL and CBS aired the NFL games, the championship game, the equivalent of the Super Bowl, was simulcast on both networks for the first and only time. And the game itself didn't even sell out. Tickets were $12, just the way it is today. and the game was blacked out within 75 miles of the Coliseum in Los Angeles, but still about a third of the stadium seats were empty. It remains the only Super Bowl that did not sell out. Now, it wasn't the Super Bowl, but it was the game, and more importantly, the play that sent the Rams to the Super Bowl back in the day.
With 4 minutes left, it looked like the storybook season might finally end.
You can start to hear it maybe in the background, like, okay, if we don't win this game, it's still a great year. Just as that thought came into my head, I see Kurt loft one over to the corner. Well, here's Isaac and Torrey looking at it. And there's Marshall out of the backfield looking at the pass, and I'm like, well, he's throwing it away. It's going to no one. Prohl?
Ricky caught the game-winning touchdown pass to put us into the Super Bowl. You don't ride it any better.
The St. Louis Rams are Super Bowl bound. You gotta love it.
The Rams had taken a long road to a Super Bowl berth, but they knew their journey was not yet complete.
Hey, everybody, the Rams are on a roll. We came from worst to first to bobbing, weaving a Super Bowl. You gotta work. You gotta work, work. You fans scream and shout it, let it be heard. Come on, Rams offense!
Gotta go to work.
We're 60,000 strong, rampaging in the stands. With the team's 12 men, we are true Rams fans. You gotta work, work. You got to work, work. You fans scream and shout it, let it be heard. Come on, Rams special team!
Thank you, Smash. Hope you're enjoying our Super Bowl extravaganza here at jcontheline.com today. I'm finding out incredible stuff here. Back in that very, very first Super Bowl, the second half kickoff had to be redone because NBC missed it. They were still airing an interview with Bob Hope when the half started. You think I'm making this stuff up? I'm not. The halftime show, by the way, I just assumed it would have been like some sort of marching band or something, but no. The halftime show was two guys in jet packs, and then hundreds of pigeons were released into the air. One of them dropped a load on Brent Musburger's typewriter. It's funny he didn't mention that in that conversation we just played back a moment ago. But it is the Super Bowl, and everybody wants into the act.
Good night, Dad. Had a really nice time today.
Me too, honey.
Can I watch football with you again next Sunday?
Sure. You'll find it gets rid of the unpleasant aftertaste of church.
Personal foul. 69. Offense. He was giving them the business.
As we mentioned earlier, this Sunday is Super Bowl 39 between the Philadelphia Eagles of my hometown and the New England Patriots
of my hometown. That's right. Of my hometown, Burlington, New England.
So we thought it would be fun to have a little hometown fans point counterpoint. Amy has elected to go first.
Thank you, Tina. If you think your Eagles are any match for our top-notch New England Patriots, you're a moron.
Okay, don't even start, all right? Because everybody knows New England people are a bunch of losers. You just went down there losers, and you're going home losers.
All right. You know what? Give me a break. We're unstoppable. It's our year. First the Red Sox, now the Super Bowl. Okay, you can go cry in a pile of Philly cheesesteaks and watch that gay movie they named after your city.
Rebuttal. First of all, your whole city smells like baked bean farts. Second of all, how do you even have time to go to the Super Bowl? Aren't you too busy getting molested by priests and crying about it?
Good point. Point well taken, but let me just say this. Your mother's a whore and your father holds the money.
You dirtbag!
This has been Hometown Fans Point Counterpoint.
A lot of talk about this year's halftime show at the Super Bowl with some country singer who's going to do the national anthem, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, and Kendrick Lamar, who are insisting that this is going to be the best Super Bowl halftime show in Super Bowl history. We shall see. SoFi Stadium has been blasting rock music outside so people can't hear the rehearsals for the halftime show and try to spill the beans. And as always, there'll be people who will be watching the game and they know the X's and O's. And then there's a lot of people who just show up for the party. Norm?
In a recent interview, Christie Brinkley suggested that football players should have special gloves connected to lights on their helmets. That way, when they catch the ball, you'll know who has possession. Read these and other interesting ideas in Christie's new book, I'm an Idiot.
That is the Chicago Bears fight song. I grew up in Chicago. I may be biased here, but I think that's the best of all the NFL fight songs, Bear Down, Chicago Bears. Now, when the Buffalo Bills were told, hey, guess what? We have written a brand new fight song for the Buffalo Bills. Then head coach Marv Levy got all of the employees at the stadium together to unveil the new song. He was really trying to sell it, even if those employees who were supplying the background vocals didn't exactly seem sold on the whole thing.
Go Bills, for we are here to cheer for you. Go Bills, we are your fans so true. With victory in sight, we'll yell with all our might. So go Bills, fight, Bills, go. Come on, let's win for Buffalo. Go Bills, we're with you. Fight Bills, we're with you. Go Bills, let's win this game. We'll raise up all our voices high. A Bills team spirit will not die. So go Bills, fight Bills, go. Come on, let's win for Buffalo. Go Bills, for we are here to cheer for you. Go Bills, we are your fans so true. With victory in sight, we'll yell with all our might. So go Bills, fight Bills, go. Come on, let's win for Buffalo. Great job, thank you, great job.
Even the referee in football has his own microphone, so he can humiliate the football players when they break a rule. They stop the entire game so the referee can press a button on his belt, activate a giant sound system, point the guy out on television just to embarrass him in front of his mom and everybody else that might be watching. He stopped the whole game. Here's the ref. The reason we stopped, the reason we're all hanging around out here in the snow not doing anything right now, is because some people don't seem to know the rules. Isn't that right? Number 71. 71. I hope your mother's watching. Can't blame the referee, though. It's human nature. Let's say you were a football ref in the NFL. An ordinary guy, 65 or 70 years old. You're not making the big millions of bucks like the football players, but you got one thing they don't have, a button right on the belt. And all you got to do is click it on, and for the first time in your whole boring life, the entire nation is hanging on every word that comes out of your mouth. If I was him, I'd stop the game every 5 minutes just to talk about my own personal problems. Wouldn't you, if you were him, I'd be going, there was no penalty. This has nothing to do with the game, the players, or the National Football League. I need to talk. I can't keep this up anymore. I feel like a fraud out here. Sure, I'm the ref, but who am I to judge these players? I mean, look at some of the choices I've made in my own life, for God's sake. 62 years old and I'm a freaking referee. I gotta lie down. I gotta tell you something. I'll be honest, lots of times when I'm out here, I'm not even thinking about football. My wife's getting fat as a mobile home. I love my kids, but if I had to do it again, I'd wear a condom. Just all goes by so fast in life, doesn't it? One minute you're in high school, the next minute you're watching your prostate like a hawk. Anybody who says these are the golden years can kiss my wrinkled butt, Buster. I got hair growing out of my ears, for God's sake. I got cataracts the size of ashtrays. I got to pee every 5 minutes. I walk in a room and I go, what the hell did I come in this room for anyway? Got that goddamn arthritis in my shoulder. I wake up in the morning, takes me a half an hour just to find my eyeglasses, just so I can look for my teeth to tell my wife to find my hair. I don't know, maybe I'm just blowing smoke. You know what's really bothering me? I just kind of feel like I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. I mean it. Did you ever dress up in your wife's panties when nobody's home? Boy, you give me a pair of thong panties and some perfume, I am one happy riff. The hell with football. Well, thanks for listening. You better get back to the game now. First down. All right, there you go. Thanks.
NFL Hall of Famer Terry Bradshaw. Terry, what's the name of that new book again?
It's Only a Game.
Do you mind if I read a passage from it?
No, go ahead.
Okay, here
JC.
It is. Here it is, page 103. Slowly, I unbuttoned her blouse and nibbled on the tasty nectar.
No. Seeping. Wait a minute.
What are you into, Bradshaw?
You don't do that. You are sick. You can't be doing that.
Pocket
my copy of that book out. There, oh, same page. And when I jumped on top of my John Deere tractor and went skirting across the field, a whole flock of geese got right in my winder. Is that where you are?
I don't think so.
JC, you're sick.
All right. Terry Bradshaw.
Don't make me mad. I'll go on television. I'll just blast you guys.
It's Only a Game. Thanks, Terry.
I unbuttoned her blouse. Lord, help me. See you guys.
Bye. Oh, and we can't forget Terry Bradshaw's best buddy from the Fox NFL pregame show, Howie Long.
You guys have that little mini field, and usually about halfway through the show, you guys will all get up and you'll demonstrate, for example, like a particular blocking technique or something. Tell me what happened that time when Terry Bradshaw ended up flat on his ass.
I'll tell you what happened is he is always poking at me physically. You know, just a little jab here, a little jab there. And being big has its responsibility. You have a certain responsibility to kind of be judicious in your onslaught, if you would. And you take it. And he's always talking about, kick your big butt. So that one time, I mean, what happened was JB was playing quarterback and he was playing center. We were going over, I think it was John Randall. We were talking about John Randall at the time. And while he was turned around talking to JB, I looked into the camera and said, watch this, I'm going to knock him on his rear end. And he was shocked. When the back of his head hit the ground, and he just called me a big bully. And, you know, we haven't had a problem since then.
Well, Joe Buck is a veteran of lots of Super Bowl play-by-play calls. He'll have the day off this Sunday. But the next time you are watching a football game with Joe and Troy, somewhere in the back of your mind, you may recall this soundbite.
All right, your broadcast partner, the great former Cowboys quarterback Troy Aikman. We've talked about this before in that the two of you have an odd relationship in the booth during the games. You like to mess with him. And I asked you once, I said, what do you mean mess with him? And you said, well, sometimes I'll move his pencil. Just explain what's going on during the games, the stuff that people are completely unaware of, the dynamic between you and Troy.
He's just such a perfectionist. It drives me nuts. And it's not exactly the Odd Couple and Felix and Oscar, but, you know, I'm more messy, sloppy. My notes are kind of all over the place. And his penmanship and everything is just so buttoned down and perfect. So before we go on the air, I just like to do stuff to try to break the ice. And I think he kind of appreciates it. I know he fights it, but we've become really good friends. We're basically the same age. We're both fathers of a couple of daughters, and we've had a good run here. You know, I may, as you said, move his stuff, or if I go to the bathroom during a break, I'll wait until the last second to come back because I like to see him panic if the team's going to kick off and I'm not there. Just to kind of get him laughing and smiling, because to be honest with you, he's one of the funnier guys I know, and the more I can get that out of him during the course of a broadcast, the better off our game is going to be, and that's what I try to achieve.
Now, he's got a little money riding on the Super Bowl on Sunday. You might need a little guidance before you put that money down.
You want some of this, don't you?
Yeah!
Well, you need to know the winners, and I know the winners, so call me now.
Whoa!
$5 for the first minute, $2 for each additional minute.
You have reached the coach's hot
line. Yeah, lay it on me, coach.
In the game of Miami versus
Cincinnati. Cincinnati.
Nat.
Cincinnati.
D.
Jerry.
Come on. Don't you realize this is costing me money?
We must consider many things. The wind...
Oh, not the wind.
...is blowing out of the west.
Oh.
At 5...
...miles per hour.
Not...
Oh!
And so there you go. The only thing left to do now is to start eating chicken wings and drinking everything you can get your hands on. I don't know if they're going to win, but I'm pulling for Cincinnati. Of course, most of us are going to be pulling for anybody other than Stan Kroenke. Oh, and by the way, it's going to be close to 90 degrees this weekend in Los Angeles. Be fun to see Stan just sort of keel over and have to go in emergency procedure to remove his 1970s porn mustache. It's the only way we can revive him. And since we don't have a team anymore, hey, it's called nostalgia. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Enjoy the Super Bowl. We're back on Monday with our Valentine's Day special right here at jcontheline.com. Enjoy.
McNair will work out of the shotgun.
McNair drops, throws right side for Dyson. He dives for the end zone. And
reaches to the goal line. No, he falls at the one. Time runs out. That's it.
The Rams win by a yard. That's it.
And we win. That's the game. It's over. It's over. We're world champions.
St. Louis, the gateway to the West, is now the gateway to the best football team in the world. The St. Louis Rams are the world champions.
We did it. We did it. We did it.
Adam, baby, I got you. Come on, Stevie. All right, buddy. I got it. What do you think, guys, huh?
We won the Super Bowl.
We won the Super Bowl, did we not, huh? Did we win the Super Bowl?
We won the Super Bowl.
Did we win the Super Bowl, huh?
Yeah.
Did we win the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
The St. Louis Rams and the 63-year-old grandfather, champions of the NFL.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.